Chapter 36. Homecoming. There were many ways Hong Xian expected his day to go: reading medical scrolls, taking care of his son, harvesting winter caps, or looking to the horizon for his daughter. He was not expecting this. His knuckles were white as he held onto the edge of the toboggan, the boar careening through the snowed-over fields and up hills, squealing with delight. He had no idea what the children and Gozhen saw in this. It was all he could do to hang on and not go flying off the piece of wood and into a snowdrift. It had started out innocently enough, with a sleigh delivering his daughter back to him. She was in a great mood. They all were. He'd expected them a day earlier, but they were still young. It was in their nature to tarry. And then Gozhen had come up from behind them, howling with mad glee, pulled along by an enormous boar. The boar plowed through a drift while Gozhen took it on the side, and he sailed through the air, slamming back down to the ground and whooping as the boar once more accelerated. Naturally, this had drawn the children, who all wanted to have a good time on the speeding pig. All the while, his daughter was carried into town at a more sedate pace, also by a pig. A pig who was a spirit beast, with a rat, another spirit beast, sitting on her shoulder, transmitting her voice to everyone and calling Mei Ling master. It was one of those days. The same type of day where he'd met his wife, and the type of day where he and Bao had become sworn brothers. A type of day where it was getting just a little bit too interesting for his heart to handle. Xian wasn't getting any younger. But unlike those interesting days, nothing was trying to poison or disembowel him, or get him executed. Instead, the strange, befuddling creatures of the world played with children and asked politely to learn medicine from him. If he was honest, he much preferred this. Even with the loss of money, the loss of position, he did not regret being filial and returning to Hongyao-wu. Things were lively in a good way. So he'd joined in. What harm was there in having some fun? Or so he had thought. This was entirely too fast for him. His heart was hammering in his chest, but just as his grip was about to fail, the tremendous porcine beast slowed his stride, allowing him to recover and not smack into a tree. His grip loosened, and Chongqi wandered back to the children, happy as could be. His son eagerly took over his position, and the boar was off again, kicking up a ruckus. He shook his head and traveled back to his house, panting with exertion and exhilaration the whole way. The sow, Pipa, nodded her head in respect from where she watched the children play. There was a small pile of dried persimmons beside her, and daintily she took one in her mouth and ate it, the very picture of table manners and politeness. Inside, his daughter had ransacked half the medical scrolls and had them spread out, Rizu glued to her side as she explained the theories and plans contained within. It was cute to see his daughter so enthusiastic, gesturing authoritatively. But the little rat nodding along beside her was still rather strange. He shook his head and put it out of his mind. The Song brothers were lazing around, as they always did when they finished work, ready to get their payment for escorting his daughter. It was what they were always paid when they did odd jobs for him. A free meal was a low price for his daughter having some protection. Yunzhen's skill with his sword was passable enough to ward off normal animals, and Gozhen would simply pick his daughter up and run if things got too out of hand. They would never let his daughter come to any true harm. They were good boys, loyal and strong, and Hongyao-wu was the better for their presence. When they weren't doing something idiotic, like jumping out of a tree into the river or trying to catch each other in their hunting snares. So, did anything interesting happen this time? He asked them, getting down a cup.
Mei Mei got drunk and started singing about the whore and the donkey,
Yunzhen said, scratching his behind. Yunzhen had struck with speed and grace, his skill as a hunter shining through admirably as he pounced on his daughter's weaknesses. His daughter's head snapped up, her face flushing red.
Oh, she did she?
Xian asked, his lips curling into a smile.
Yun, if you keep talking, I'm going to turn your skin blue,
his Mei Mei hissed. But Yunzhen had spotted weakness and went for the throat.
Then she told Jin to take off his shirt so she could lick wine off his chest.
Yunzhen's vulpine grin spread across his face as he mercilessly drove for the kill, revealing the depths of his daughter's wayward ways. Some fathers would be upset at their daughter's impropriety. All Xian could think was, just like her mother. Those were fond memories.
And really, he would have gone himself if he wanted to stop youthful indiscretion. The Song brothers would never let her come to harm, but they would certainly never stop anything they thought was funny. But she needed to sweat a little. It was a father's duty to poke his entirely too headstrong daughter.
"Oh, daughter, you dared," he joked. "Is your purity intact after you performed those actions?"
Mei Ling started stuttering, her eyes jumping to him and then to the floor, caught between rage and embarrassment while she made vague strangling movements in Yun Zhen's direction. She was too unbalanced to notice the mirth in his voice. Yun Zhen shoved a digit into his nose, looking entirely bored with the proceedings, and a languid smirk spread across his face at the destruction he had wreaked. It was a rare day that he managed to defeat Mei Ling so utterly. Xian's daughter was absolutely fuming, and eventually just gave up to hide her face in her hands. Xian filled his cup as Mei Ling made whimpering noises, her face as red as a wedding dress. He drank. His daughter really was too cute when she was flustered, almost as cute as her mother. It was then Yun Zhen pounced, his sly eyes turning to him.
"Also, Jin's chicken killed Sun Ken, and we met the young mistress of the Verdant Blade sect."
The water went down the wrong way. He choked, coughed, and spluttered as the hunter claimed his second kill.
"What?"
he finally got out, after he had managed to catch his breath. Dinner was an interesting affair. His son was sitting upon the back of Chung Ki, feeding him off the plate. It was an amusing scene, and one he could imagine Mei Ling's own children doing in the future. It was sad that they were to live that far away, and over such a rough road. He would like to visit often. The other two were more reserved, with Rizu using a little pair of chopsticks and Pipa somehow managing to eat without getting food anywhere. It was very surreal. Still, more strange events had happened in the year since Jin had come than had happened in decades prior. The Wicked Blade, a Blaze Bear, that scum who tried to put his hands on Mei Hua, and now Sun Ken? Was it fate? Was Jin causing these things to appear? Or were they destined to appear anyways, and Jin's presence was a shield? It was something to consider. Cultivators were either the greatest of heroes or the vilest of villains. Xian looked at his children's happiness. His son playing with Chung Ki, Mei Ling still patiently teaching Rizu. He would be an optimist, he decided. Jin's appearance was a great fortune, not the precursor to calamity. That is what it was, and that is what it would be. His daughter would be happy. His grandchildren would be well cared for. He smiled at the only unengaged spirit beast. She seemed to be content to simply watch, but he would be a poor host if he did not entertain his guests.
"Miss Pipa, would you like to learn about some of the more specific mushrooms we grow?"
The sow perked up, looking shocked. She turned to Xian, Gozhen, and Chung Ki, who were all falling asleep together. He saw an almost motherly smile cut across her face. The sow nodded, content that her charges were too tired to cause trouble.
"Very well then, come with me. I will show you the knowledge of Hong Yao Wu."
Hong Xian, the elder, began to teach a pig. She was a surprisingly good student. The two pigs left the next morning to carry a list and a letter to their master. One note would be the children's favorite animals. The other contained news that the merchants would be at Verdant Hill in 3 days, along with their recording crystals if Jin wished to get anything specific. They hitched themselves to the sleigh and bowed in respect to those that would see them off. Xian smiled, waving them goodbye. Mei Ling said that the village would be seeing them again soon enough, for Jin had some kind of grand plan for the solstice. He faced the future with a smile. Tsai Sholan strode, her head held high, through the gates of her sect. Disciples and mortals gathered around her as she walked, at the head of her small band. The survivors of the battle against Sun Ken all hail when she returned to them. The people lining the streets gaped at the crimson demon's tooth. They shouted her name, and they praised the might of the Verdant Blade sect, who had laid the wicked low. Her comrades had all been amazed at her feat, and they walked beside her with their own heads held high, an honor guard for their mistress. The battle had not been without losses, even though they had returned victorious. She would lay flowers at the graves of the fallen and those that could be recovered. In addition, the mortal soldiers would receive their compensation.
They had fought bravely and had taken heavy losses to the ambushes, but their families would not be left paupers by their sacrifices. They had done their duty, and that was honor for their family. Even so, many children would be without their fathers. It was a sobering thought, and one that plagued her heart. But none of the adoring crowd saw that. Her robes were pristine white. Her hair was immaculate. It was like she had fought the whirling demon sword gang and sustained not a scratch. This was pomp and circumstance. Word had been sent ahead of her arrival. Fresh clothes had been provided for her, as well as medics to see that she had no scars or blemishes. They found none, for Senior Sister's healing was perfect. Her appearance showed that the Verdant Blade sect was powerful, that their young mistress was untouchable. The sect leader, the elders, and the disciples had been gathered. They stood with stern faces and proud bearing in the main courtyard, elevated above the mortals. They reached the correct distance, and as one, her party dropped to their knees, clasping their fists and bowing their heads.
Sect leader of the Verdant Blade, honored elders, this Tsai Sholan returns from her mission successful. The Whirling Demon Blade Sun Ken and the Whirling Demon Blade Gang lie vanquished. Their bones are shattered, and their lifeblood now nurtures the earth. No longer shall the wicked plague the world.
She reached to her back and presented the sword.
I present to you, honored elders, the Crimson Demon's Tooth as proof of Sun Ken's demise.
They made the appropriate noises of approval as the crowd roared and cheered her name.
Rise, daughter of the Verdant Blade sect, her honorable father called. She could see the pride in his eyes. You shall be rewarded for your triumph.
He looked to Elder Yi, the second most powerful man in the Verdant Blade sect. His face was inscrutable and cold as he assessed her victory, yet he nodded at her honorable father.
Go, Elder Yi commanded. Take the news to all corners of the Azure Hill. All must know of Sun Ken's defeat at the hands of our Verdant Blade sect.
The crowd roared in approval. Though it was her duty to present things like this, the praise tasted like ashes.
Its demon is suppressed, and I dare say leashed. Remarkable. Daughter, how did you accomplish this feat?
Her honorable father's gaze turned to her from the Crimson Demon's Tooth. Slowly, the joy faded as he beheld her.
My daughter, what troubles you? He asked, quenching his excitement.
The crowds had long since been left behind as she gave her report privately. His eyes were concerned as he stared at her conflicted face.
May we have some privacy? Sholan asked.
He nodded his head, and with a flick of his hand, the others that were in his room exited, though Elder Yi seemed a bit suspicious. The silencing formation was put up, and her father's eyes softened.
Now, tell your father what ails you, little orchid, he commanded quietly.
Sholan considered the question. Master Jin wished for his privacy, yet she could not lie to her father. The two instincts battled as guilt mixed with shame. She would not tell her father Master Jin's whereabouts, but she needed at least one person to know the truth.
It was not I who slew Sun Ken, she stated, hoping to speed through the worst of it.
Her father's eyebrows disappeared into his hair.
I was on death's door, crippled by demonic chi. When I finally retrieved the blade of Sun Ken, he was already dead.
Then, how did this occur? How did you survive?
She bowed her head.
I had a fortuitous encounter. I was taken in by a hidden master, and I was healed. Then I was gifted with profound techniques and new training, presented with Sun Ken's blade, and told to take the credit. With his assistance and his wisdom, I have reached the fourth stage.
Her father's jaw dropped.
He assisted you so greatly, and raised you so high in mere days. Is there a way he could be convinced to join our sect?
She shook her head.
No, he wishes not to be disturbed. I will not betray this single task he has set before me. I beg your forgiveness for this, father, but I must honor his request.
Her father pondered her words.
How powerful was he?
I could not see his depths.
Her father nodded and stroked his beard.
We shall abide by his demands. Thank you for telling me, daughter. To insult a hidden master who has done you such a kindness is the height of dishonor.
He also gifted me this, and requested that I attend his wedding with senior sister.
Tai Shi Kong opened the bag of rice. It was the finest silver-grade rice he had ever laid eyes on, nearing gold-grade, and it was absolutely stuffed with qi. Sweat beaded on his brow.
Then we must prepare a suitable gift for him, daughter. Can you consider anything that he would desire?
Xiaolan considered. Her gaze turned to the crimson demon's tooth. Her lips quirked into a smile.
He mentioned wanting a plow.
Her father stared at the blade as well and began laughing.
The wicked horseman's blade as a farming implement. I can think of no better insult.